Thank you so much. You may be seated. I watched the news this week, and since we were here on Sunday, one of the networks did a special entitled The World in Disarray. Another network did a special on the fall of Syria and the gates of hell. They're talking about the terror of the world and the pain and the suffering. And ladies and gentlemen, since we were here on the Lord's Day, North Korea has launched another missile, and their egotistical, out-of-control leader has declared that his goal in life is to put a nuclear weapon into our country. And with this missile launch, Civil Defense is now distributing pamphlets and workbooks to the west coast of the nation on how to prepare for a nuclear attack. Not since the Cold War have we seen those kinds of conversations, but we realize that yesterday in response, the United States loaded two B-1 bombers and armed them and flew them across the Korean Peninsula. At the same time, the United States Navy has accelerated its sea trials for the Gerald R. Ford, the world's largest aircraft carrier with the latest technology and weaponry. 100,000 tons is this massive military weapon. While that was happening, the Iranians launched a missile into outer space, making plans and threats to destroy and annihilate the little nation of Israel, little Satan, and those that protect her, big Satan, the United States of America. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm telling you, while the world says peace and safety, they're finding none. We've had two terrorist attacks in Germany this week. Australia had a terrorist attack this week. There's not a continent, there's not a place on planet Earth that's safe. You need to understand that it's a changing world. And if the devil could, Sean, if he could, he'd get us to live in fear. It gets us to be literally fear and trembling. But the Bible doesn't want us, neither does God want us, to live in fear. I thought about all that news, and I thought about, add to that, the personal problems we all can have with sickness and finances and families and relationships and even bereavement, loss of people that we love. And we begin to think about all of these things. And we begin to look at them. And Gary, as you were talking earlier in the week, the acceleration of the calendar of the coming of the Lord is unbelievable to see it all. But what the church is supposed to do, what we are mandated by God to do, is that when we see all these things, that we're to look up, because we know our redemption draweth nigh. For just a moment, I'd like to encourage you this morning on fear not. The Bible wants us to have the comfort of the Word of God, and that we could understand that it's not God's will for us to be afraid. This is not a complicated message by any means or any stretch of the imagination. It's so simple that even a child can understand it. Our good friend, Mr. Glenn Wilcox, his precious wife, Pauline, passed away this week. And the service at the First Baptist Church, we know as a part of that service, one of the speakers made the wonderful comment about that Mrs. Wilcox's favorite song was that Ethel Waters used to sing, "His Eye is Upon the Sparrow." And that she loved that Bible story out of Matthew chapter 10 and the comfort that that brings. And I looked around and I thought about the signs of the times and all that we're facing. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1 said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now the reason we have perilous times is that if the devil could, he would literally fracture my faith. And if he can fracture my faith, then he can fracture my family. He can go out after what's near to and dear to my heart. Always remember that if the devil cannot defeat you, he will always try to distract you. If he cannot defeat you, he'll try to discourage you so that you will give up, even trying to read your Bible, trying to pray, or even going to the house of the Lord. Fractured faith can mean fractured families. And we need to be careful today as the pressure is upon the home and the marriage as never before. And then look at the screen. Fractured faith can also produce fear. Fear can come in because the faith has been fractured. Look at 1 Peter 1 and verse number 5. Who are kept by the power of God. Notice the phrasing. Through what? Faith. We're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And here's the part that caught my attention. Ready to be revealed. When? In the last time. In other words, God's acknowledging that there's going to be a difficult time right before the Lord comes back. That there's going to be stress upon families and upon relationships. There's going to be stress on your faith. There's going to be worry and concern. Not that we are intentionally doing those things, but because there's such a turmoil in the world. There's such a problem in the world. And it's easy to be made afraid. I thought for a moment, some things are easy to scare. A child, you can frighten a child very easily. You can spook a cat. We even have a name for it, don't we? What do we call it? Scaredy cat, right? And you can scare a bird. They're very nervous. They're afraid something's going to enjoy them for lunch. They're very nervous. Another bird or a ground predator. And they're always hopping, looking, moving. And just the least little old move of a limb or a leaf, and oh, they take off. You know, I admit that I have seen all of those in action. But I found out that even a bird can scare me. I'll confess to that. If you've ever been in the woods and a grouse come up in your face, I've shot everything but the grouse. Because it just up and all the noise of those wings, and especially if there's two or three of them, you'll just think your life is over. But it is that we're easily made afraid. But think about this. You are God's child. And according to the Word of God, He will take care of you. You're in God's family. And God teaches us with that beautiful example of a little bird, a sparrow. I don't know if you've paid any attention or put breadcrumbs up on the rail of your deck or sprinkled them under a tree before, but God declared that He knows me and He knows you, but He also knows on a personal basis this little bird. He says, if one of these little sparrows falls to the ground, He said, I know about that. Now, I have a hard time. You know me. I'm always asking why. I'm always digging for the next layer. And I'm thinking, why on earth would God be so caught up with His might and power and knowledge that He would know about one little sparrow bird, whether or not it's fallen, or whether or not a hawk got it, or whether or not it flew into a window when it was scared and broke its little neck. But God said, I know. And He said, I care so much that I want you to know if I care for the little bitty bird, how much more would I care about you? Look at Matthew 10 and verse 28. And the Bible says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then he said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, notice he's saying that this little common bird that's sold outside the temple in the time of Matthew for a common man's sacrifice, he said, it's very inexpensive. Look at Matthew 10:31. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more value than many sparrows. He said, you're worth more than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. He's making a strong declaration for us to what? He said, don't you be afraid. Don't you fear. And remember, there was an occupational army in Jerusalem when this was written. And he's saying, don't be afraid of the bad guys. Don't be afraid of the government. Don't be afraid of organized religion. And you think around the world today, what people are afraid of and what people are living in and people are suffering under, the absolute meltdown and chaos of Venezuela and what they're going through in their nation and the destruction of Syria. And I read Isaiah 17 and it said that there's going to be a day before the Lord comes back that Damascus said that Syria is going to be ruined. And that nation is ruined today. And God's saying, I'm going to let you see all that, but I don't want you to be afraid. He said, fear not on the personal side. The other side was the culture and the society. But then he talks about me and you personally, our private fears, our private struggles, the things that we worry about on the inside. He said, don't you be afraid of depression. Don't you be afraid of disease. Don't you even fear death. He said, I'm going to take care of you. And how did he illustrate that? What did he choose to do? He said, because you are of more value in the eyes of God than any little common bird called a sparrow. Isn't that something? That's how much he loved us. Now, think about this. This song, His Eye is on the Sparrow, that was Mrs. Wilcox's favorite song, written by Sevilla Martin. And Sevilla Martin was a pastor's wife. And in the spring of 1905, she visited a chronically ill friend. Her friend that she went to see had been bedridden for over 20 years. 20 years. And every time Mrs. Martin would go in to visit her, her bedridden friend would be smiling, thanking the Lord for life, and praising him for his goodness and mercy. And Mrs. Martin, she said, every time I come into this place, you're telling me you love the Lord, you're smiling, you're saying that God's good to you. And she asked her, she said, what is the secret of your joy? In the midst of all your pain, in the midst of all your suffering, what is the secret to your joy? And her friend answered. She said, when I look out my bedroom window and I see that little sparrow landing in the bushes, said, and I know that the Bible says that God loves that little bird and he watches over him. She said, if his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he watches me. And boy, guess what happened? Miss Martin got to thinking about that, and she went home that night. And in the spring of 1905, she took out some paper and pen, and she began to write the beautiful song and began to pen those words. And that's where that beautiful song came from. If his eye is on the sparrow. See, God's comforting you. He's comforting me. And he's saying, don't be afraid. If I just watch the news, I'd dig a cave. And you wouldn't come out. You wouldn't know how you're going to live and exist. But God doesn't want us to do that. He said in his word, occupy till I come. That means go to work. That means go on vacation. That means have a cookout in the backyard. That means that every opportunity, in the Greek, when you read that, it means eat ice cream every time you get an opportunity. You got to dig deep, but it's in there. I'm telling you. He wants you to enjoy life. If you're diabetic, buy sugar-free. Pig out. I mean, he wants you to have that enjoyment of living and life. Because why? When we live life and we're happy and we have a testimony, the world that has no hope sees that we're happy. And that's what happened to Mrs. Martin's friend. They said, there's no way you can be happy. She said, there is. Because Jesus is watching over me. He's taking care of me. And you know how that happens? I'm not afraid because I am what? Eternal. Now, Matthew 10, Jesus tells those disciples, don't fear them that can kill the body. Now, you think about what he said. You look up that word fear, and that word fear is associated with the word paralyze. And that word paralyzed means that you become unable to act. And this definition got a hold of me. I'm unable to act. I'm unable to think normally. Why? Because of fear. You wouldn't think that, but fear can rob your thinking process. It can rob your ability to respond normally. And it can even cause you to what? To panic. Now, that Greek word for fear is the word phobos. And there's 254 various forms of phobia. Some of you have all 254. You think about it. If we're not careful, we end up being afraid to live and afraid to die. We're afraid of everything. And God's saying, fear not. Now, I'm a professional worrier. I come from a long lineage of worriers. My mom and dad trained me to worry because they worried. And my grandparents were worriers. So if you come from a worrying family, you've got a great lineage of worry. But what you have to understand is that God helps us overcome our normal, natural, own weaknesses that we want to worry or that we are afraid. And God says, I'll help you with that. You can do better. He said, I'll help you overcome that. Now, let's look at the top four fears. Here's number one. Fear of spiders. Arachnophobia. Now listen to this. I was surfing the other night, going to through the channels, and when I came to this channel, here's a man's face, and his eyeballs are about this big, and he's like this, and there's a big old tarantula crawling across his face. And do you know why Hollywood did that? Because the number one human fear is fear of spiders. So they're making a movie. And if you're old enough, you can remember some of them in black and white where the spiders were as big as Volkswagens. Remember those? They got nuked out in the desert of Arizona where they were testing. And they're crawling across the West. You remember? Hey, fear of spiders. They know human nature. And glossophobia, the fear of of speaking in public that, you know, that you'd rather, you know, if you had a preference and I said, would you come up here and just speak for a few minutes? You'd say, uh-uh, not me. I don't want to do that. Hand me a spider. Right? That's just us. And then the fear of flying is number three. And, you know, Musette and I've talked about that often. And, you know, and God love her. Her Bible verse that God gave her was, lo, I'm with you always. It doesn't say anything about in that plane. She just says, lo, I'm with you always. But, you know, in all sincerity and all honesty, it's not a fear of flying. It's a fear of crashing. Flying doesn't bother you. It's that sudden stop at the end of the flight. That's what it, think about that. And then the fourth is the fear of confined spaces, claustrophobia. But the reason I listed those fours is so that we would identify with our own humanity. Fear. There's all kinds of fears, and 254 listed in the psychological analysis of the human behavior. But guess what? You might have a fear that's not in the book. Because why? We're different. We're individuals. But what did Jesus say? He said, don't you be afraid, disciples. And why did he say that? Why did he say for us not to be afraid? Here's the key. Pastor Donnie, he's wanting to make sure we understand that we're not a body with a soul. You know, sometimes we make the wrong assumption and we say, well, this is me, it's my body, and I've got a soul. But the truth of the matter is, you're not a body with a soul. You're a soul that's going to live forever and ever and ever that's got a body. I mean, you're seeing me now in this body. But wait till you see my new body. The new me. The new version. I mean, it won't look 40 years old and be suffering like this. I mean, I'm going to get one with new joints that don't creak. Say amen right there. Do you understand that? I mean, you think about it. God said, don't be afraid. You are not a body with a soul. You're a soul that's going to live forever and ever. And you got a body, but I'm going to give you a new body. When we see Him, we shall what? Be like Him. So He's encouraging us not to be afraid. And that's what He was passing along to the disciples. Look at Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. The Bible says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now I'm going to tell you something. You need to highlight that verse in your Bible. If you circle verses, you need to circle that one. If you have a yellow highlighter, you need to make that one glow in the dark. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And what did Jesus say? He said, listen, you fear who can kill both body and soul. He's talking about God the Father. He's talking about the divine. He said, don't be afraid of anything on this earth. It's under a curse. We're going to lift this curse. You're going to have a new body. You're going to live forever and ever. God created you to live forever. God wants you to praise Him forever. God wants you to glorify Him forever. You say, why am I having such a tough time? Because God has an enemy, an adversary, the devil, and he wants to take away from him. And the way that he can rob him of glory and praise is make you afraid, to make you fearful. And when he does that, then it causes you not to glorify him, not to praise him, but to honor the devil, the enemy, the adversary, who gives the spirit of fear. You think about that. It's spiritual warfare that literally makes me afraid. Why? Well, you see, God said, not only do I use a little bird, not only do I love you so much, I love you more than that bird, so you'll understand this. He said, I know when a bird falls to the ground, a sparrow. He said, But let me tell you, let me give you another layer. Let me just give you something, even as the old boy said the other day, he said, that's even gooder, isn't it, preacher? And I said, yes, it is gooder. And this is gooder. Matthew 10:30, he said, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. That's more than the sparrow, because this is personal. God actually cares to count. What's he saying? He said, don't be afraid, don't fear, because I'm so important to God, you're so important to God, that he literally counts the hairs on your head. Now listen to me carefully. This is important. We're all different. If you're a real blonde, and I qualified that, you have approximately 145,000 hairs on your head. Isn't that something? If you're brown-headed or black-headed, you average 120,000 hairs on your head. If you are red-headed, you average about 90,000 hairs on your head. And so when you're in the shower or you're brushing your hair and one of those hairs fall out, you're so special to God that that's 121,379. That's the 79th one that just fell out. Now you are down to 378. So God, that's the way God works it. He said we're special. He loves us. He counts the very hairs on our head. You say, well, I'm not sure I believe that. I'm not sure you're going to get blessed. Because you've got to believe something to have some joy. You say, well, that's a little far out. He's a far out God. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And the smaller you make him, the less you're going to enjoy serving him. But when you make him a big God, it's wonderful to serve. Go to Psalms 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my what? Thought afar off. He knows even what I'm thinking. He knows my anxiety. He knows my worry. Knows my concern. Knows my joy. Knows what makes me happy. He knows us. And what he's enforcing to us is he's saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I love you more than a sparrow. And I even love the sparrow because I created him. He's a common bird. I put him everywhere. He's around the globe in every continent. And he said in Matthew 10, you can buy two of these for a farthing. And he said, and not one of them will fall to the ground unless I know about it. It's very common little bird. That bird is not known for his song. He's not known as a meadow lark. He's not known as a mockingbird. You don't hear him and say, oh, that's a beautiful song of a sparrow. And he's not known for his feathers. He's not an indigo bunting or a painted bunting. He's not a white crested eagle. No, he's not. He's just us. He's just one of us. And he's around the world. He's on every continent. And 2,000 years ago, in the day of Matthew, when this book was written, it was taken to the temple as the common man's sacrifice. They'd have little old cages, little old bird cages, and you could buy one. And have you ever thought about it? The smallest denomination of money we have is a penny. And look at this. A penny today. Jesus was saying that each sparrow was worth 1/4 of a penny. 1/4 of a penny. Think about that. It wasn't even worth a penny. It was 1/4 of a penny. I get tickled. If you read over in Luke's gospel, depending on the time of the year and how many birds are available and the vendors' competition, oh yeah, they had vendors and they had competition. And Walmart's not new. Kmart's not new. They got a blue light special at the temple. Oh, Luke, buy 4, get 1 for free. Read about it. It's in the book of Luke. Luke's gospel said, get four for a penny, we'll throw in a fifth one free. That's how common this little bird was. Four for a penny. 1/4 of a cent. But you know what God's saying? He said, it's a common bird, yet Jesus cares for them. You know, God's using that simple illustration that we would know when a sparrow falls, God knows about it. And what about when I trip? What about when I make a mistake? What about when I don't read my Bible and I said I would, or I would pray extra and I don't? You think about all the times we've disappointed the Lord and disappointed each other. We didn't mean to, but we did. You know what God said? God said in Psalms 37, He said He loves us and He cares for us, and He says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And then He said in verse 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord, what? Upholdeth him with His hand. God said, when you do make a mistake, don't give up. Don't quit. He said, I'll help you get back up. I'll help you through the problem. He said, you're not going to be cast away. I will take care of you. And what's He saying? He said, fear not, because you are valuable. Why am I so valuable? Why are you so valuable? Well, it's because God gave His Son. That's why we're valuable. He purchased us. And for that reason, we belong to Jesus. What I want you to do is I want you to understand. Would you bow your head with me for just a moment? I want you to think about a problem. I want you to think about a worry. I want you to think about a concern. Maybe you're worried about a son or a daughter or a grandchild. Maybe you've got a financial difficulty. Maybe your marriage is being stressed. Maybe someone you love is sick in body. Maybe you've been bereaved or someone you love is bereaved. God said, I want you to know that if I love a little old bird, how much more will I love you?